The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Justin, can you, I don't know, come up with a song or something? What? I feel like our commercials are boring.
We haven't done that. Did you ever know we got a bunch of cool shit?
There it is.
You gotta go to the website.
That's good.
www.mindpumpmedia.com. .com in your mom. I don't know. I didn't know how to end that.
And we lost them.
Yeah.
Dude, we've gotten some feedback from people who've gotten the Super Bundle, which includes all three MAPS programs. MAPS Anabolic. So this is what you do, okay? Mm-hmm. You start with MAPS Anabolic. That's three phases, 3 weeks each long. Four phases if you count pre-phase. Then after you're done with that, you move into MAPS Performance. Then after you're done with that, you move into MAPS Aesthetic. At the end of this, this is 9 months. So at the end of 9 months, this is a realistic...
Is it nine or is it seven?
It's 9 months.
Is it?
Nine months of programming.
It's nine? Dude, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here's the thing.
It works out.
When you see before and afters on social media, it's all bullshit. This is real. 9 months, it's going to take you a little while for a full transformation. And I can confidently say, if you follow all of our programs, the way they're laid out, and you don't eat like a pig, you will have tremendous results with this. And it's all Super Bundle. It's available on mindpumpmedia.com, and it's less expensive than a car.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I worked out this morning. Did you guys have a workout?
I don't like you train early almost every morning.
I don't. Wait till later, dude.
I work out
every time. I'm like a mid afternoon guy.
Me too. Yeah. Every time you've invited me to a workout, it's been at before 9 a.m. Mm-hmm.
There's two reasons for that. One, it's usually when we're doing something with Mind Pump, and later on in the day, I have stuff to do, and I never miss workout. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in the morning. And number two, I know how shitty your performance is in the morning, and I figured that's the time I should
that
work out.
That equalizes it.
Yeah.
I got you.
This is when I'm going to do some deadlifts with Adam.
That's when the truth comes out. I'm like wiping the crust out of my eyes still. He's like, hey, let's put on another plate there.
I mean, I wake him up in the middle of the night.
I need some music.
I have this program on my phone that just calls him randomly in the middle of the night. Keep him awake. Here, Adam, try this new pre-workout drink.
Yeah.
It's a sedative. No, I did a little workout this morning. I don't like working out too much in the morning, but I do like it better than not working out, you know what I'm saying? So I did a little thing. I drank some of that that coffee this morning.
A difference? Do you notice a difference in yourself, like your performance when you lift in different times of the day?
Of course.
Is it significant for you? Is there, what I mean?
So it's funny you say that, because someone posted on our forum the other day that studies show that working out in the afternoon can increase performance by like 10% or 15%. And
really?
So the forum member asked me, like, is this valid? What's the validity behind this this claim? If you take a bunch of...
That was my stomach. Did you? I apologize.
I was like,
I'm having gastrointestinal problems, apparently.
You know you farted.
Oh, yeah.
So
mouth fart.
So if you take a bunch of random people and you test half of them in the morning, you test the performance, and you test the other half in the afternoon. The afternoon people, of course, are going to perform better, because waking up first thing in the morning working out is what most people don't do. But if you always work out in the morning, your body starts to adapt, and then you start to learn to perform better at that time. And this is a strategy. And by the way, it's very small, but this is a strategy that some top athletes will do. Let's say if their game is always at noon, that they always work out at that time or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I usually don't work out in the morning, so my performance sucks in the morning.
Well, I would think it's mainly due to, like, you know, what you've established as habit, right? Like, as far as movement patterns are concerned, I wouldn't think that, like, there's a standard of, like, well, 10 to 15% gains, you know, if you do it at 12 o'clock or 2 o'clock versus, you know, 6 a.m. If you're a 6 a.m. person, or, like, you're like you, it's just, you know, springs right out of bed, you're gonna have a lot better time working out than me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would think it's more just based off of your patterns.
Well, something else that's been a game changer for me is I've been having, I don't know if I talked about this on previous episodes, but I've been brewing my coffee cold brew coffee. I introduced you guys to some of this. Starbucks serves it now. Mm-hmm. And cold brew coffee is way easier.
You invented it, right?
I invented cold brew coffee.
Okay.
It's way easier on my stomach. Like regular coffee, if I drink too much of it, it'll irritate my, as Adam calls it,
your tummy.
Sensitive little tummy.
Sensitive little tummy. Have you guys ever noticed that we're always talking about Sal's tummy? Yeah.
Anyway.
I have to do this because it hurts my tummy.
Somebody needs to make a shirt when he says, my tummy.
Made me sound like such a pussy.
No. Well, you know what? I just feel like every time we go on these retreats, this is where I decide to go off the meal plan.
And you shit yourself. Yeah. So don't act like it doesn't bother you too, because you shit yourself.
Oh yeah.
We've had to pay.
We get leakage.
We do the Airbnb, and we've actually had them email us and ask for another $500 because it's destroyed.
Like, this bathroom is unacceptable.
Their plumbing has been destroyed.
That's for you. That's what was from you breaking a coffee table. That's what it was from.
Dude.
Oh man.
We had to. That's fucked up, huh? We had to pay for that. I think it was broken before we moved it.
It was, dude. A bunch of shysters.
It was one of those things, though. You can't prove.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, whatever.
And it was a ridiculous coffee table. Yeah. Remember, it was like the metal, like eagle.
It was like brittle.
It was like eagle claw iron, like feet.
Oh, it was iron, and it had like these, the way the glass was attached to the iron was weird, and it was.
It could barely hold a glass on it.
It could barely hold me and Adam doing jump squats on it. So
I know. It's crazy, right?
What kind of a coffee table is that?
That's weak.
Yeah. How's your bulking going, Adam?
I'm the heaviest.
I thought you were cutting.
I'm about to.
Well, okay. Let's just take a step back real quick, Justin.
Okay.
Just observe Adam right now. Does he look like he's cutting or bulking?
No. I just said, I saw the back pic on your Instagram, and you're like, yeah, the cutting begins. And I haven't seen it yet. So
he's not wearing a tank top because that was a tank top. That was a normal shirt.
Right.
And it exploded.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm heavy right now. The only thing that I hate about it's like this... But I like this, right? I love the ability to go up and down and weight, and one month or a couple months I'm focusing on performance, and then I'm getting ready to get on stage for aesthetic stuff, and you know, other times I'm all focused on strength. Like, I love this, like, always manipulating these. I think, at least for me, I don't know about you guys, but to stay sane as a trainer, I mean, we live and breathe fitness. We talk it every single day.
If your body's not changing, it gets boring.
Yes. Yeah. That's how I feel. I 100%. Feel if I'm not challenging it in a new way, it is. It's boring to me. But I've learned there's plus and minus to everything, right? There's great things about being all bulked. I love being bulked up because then all my like XL, double XL shirts are like filled out. Like I can feel like a different presence. Just even when I'm around people. I can even feel the way people look at me, and I get comments and stuff like that all the time when I'm all filled out like that.
When you get all big, you get a big old fat ass.
Yeah, dude.
That was creepy. Yeah.
But then when I'm getting ready for a show though, and I'm completely shredded to the bone, right? And you know, on stage pictures and stuff that people see, you know, that to them they may think that looks better, but when I walk around like that, I'm in a t-shirt and I look like a fucking clothes hanger. You know, I don't look like a, you know, you might be able to tell I'm a fit person, but
I don't think you look like a clothes hanger, dude.
No?
No. You still look pretty muscular you don't know. Because I weigh less than you do when you're on stage. Well, so what do I look like? Fuck you.
Well, I also got 3 inches.
You don't realize what a dick he is.
No.
I
got 3 inches on preference. You. That's not fair.
Justin likes it when we bulk.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I can hang out with you guys again. You know what I mean? I need to get skinnier.
So that's the other thing. So on the bulk, I allow a lot more flexibility on the way I eat, you know, and I get to enjoy things more regularly than I would.
How much does your weight fluctuate? Forget the contest weight, because that doesn't count. That's extreme.
Yeah.
How much does your normal weight fluctuate from, you know, leaner to bulkier?
210 to 230.
So 20 pound, a 20 pound swing?
Yeah.
That's a pretty big swing. I mean, you're tall and you carry a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
But that's it. See, I used to go up to, when I would, see, I was extreme. I'd get up to 230 pounds. Then I'd get lean at 190. So that's a 40 pound.
Well, when swing. I used to dirty bulk, I'm sure you went through the same phase too, where we thought that was the best way to do things.
Just
you know?
Ate everything.
Yeah. Just ate everything in sight, and you just put on all kinds of, and that was just, I remember bulking like that where I was not paying attention to my body fat or any of that. It was was just purely, I need to put on, I want to try and put on as much weight. And then really what that was I wanted my body to feel what it feels like to be at that point, 220, then 225, then 230.
What's the heaviest you ever got?
235.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the heaviest?
Yeah, so I'm 2 pounds from that, and I'm so actually in better shape right now.
Well, here's the thing then, because obviously I got a lot fatter than you did when I'd get bulk, because I'm not as tall as you are, and you carry a lot of muscle. I'd get up to 230. The heaviest I ever got was 240. But I wasn't lean in any sense of the word. I was kind of rotundish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not quite.
Those pinchable cheeks.
Not quite rotund, but I was rotundish, which is just before rotund. And,
rotundish.
But dude, I'll tell you something. I got to find pictures if I have any pictures of my legs at that. My legs get so fucking massive at that size that I rub holes in my jeans in between.
Oh, I can imagine. I'm going through that right where I'm chafing right now, and my quads rub together and stuff when I walk. And that yours are way bigger than mine too, especially the way they're developed, the way you from the front. You know, mm-hmm. you can tell how wide yours are. So I'm sure you get that. We're getting that really bad.
Yeah,
and no, all my boxer briefs and stuff like that. They at the bottom where it just doesn't feel.
You just gotta wear the fucking bikinis, bro, because it lets them free. You know what I mean. You gotta free them.
I don't know if you can convert me, dude.
Huh?
I've tried that. I went through a phase where I was doing that for a minute, and I just, you know, it wasn't comfortable.
Really?
Yeah, it looked good though.
It keeps everything in place.
It's like airtight.
Makes your business look good.
My guys need to breathe.
Yeah, that's how. I'm like
boxer briefs don't make them breathe. It's still tight.
There's not drafts that come up there.
No, yeah, they're not as tight as
nice.
Yeah, it's not as tight as like your.
I hate them because they climb up my legs and shit. You know what I mean? Then I get wrinkles underneath my clothes from the boxer briefs. See, this way, there's almost no clothing underneath.
Yeah.
It depends on what I'm doing, too. Like, so I have all different types. Like, I have, my loose boxers, and I have boxer briefs, and I even have tidy whities, and I do have some underwear like
that. Now, when you wore your leggings, what were those called? Compression pants?
Yeah.
Are you supposed to wear underwear underneath those? This is a serious question.
Well, I did, and I wore, that's where I wore, I have these, like, your
grapefruit. Do they have them
what do you call your fucking grapefruit, or your grapefruit?
What do I call my grapefruit?
No, what's
it's also known as my
dick. It's a cucumber.
It's they're just
kumquat.
Like, they're just European, underwear.
Okay,
I don't know what the fuck you call.
Yeah, so I have some Tommy Hilfigers that are like that, right? They're white, and so I wore that.
Never buy white.
Yeah, that's the biggest mistake.
No, there's still places.
It'll
white.
Change colors on you. Let me just tell you,
bro, Adam, you don't have kids. Let me tell you something. When you have kids, especially boys. Yeah. Oh yeah! Don't buy them white underwear.
No, it's not a good idea,
dude. I wouldn't. My little. Well, I don't know, because in my household,
actually doesn't change much.
I would probably teach my boys what you guys are probably just now learning from me is the wipes, dude. The wipes are that's what keeps that from happening.
Bro, kids, they just don't.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to debate the kids thing, but I'm a grown ass man, so I feel like I can still manage my ass.
Outside.
I feel like that's I can manage my ass. Okay.
Do you have your kids, your boys pee outside?
Yeah, these pee outside.
Do they do that all the time?
Find a tree. Yeah, all the time. It's actually gotten me into trouble.
Has it really?
Yeah. Like taking him to Taekwondo, and he's like, oh, I got to go. I'm like, okay, let's find this bush over here. Go for it.
This is what's fucked up about society to me. This is why I think society's fucked up. This is the number one reason why I think society's fucked up. No, it's not the number one. This is horrible. But when you're a child, when you're a boy, you piss outside. It's a great thing.
That's it,
when you're a man,
nature boy,
you go to jail.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
There has to be like a time length there, right?
Yeah, what's the break? That's what I want to know.
If you're peeing too long and you're a grown man, yeah.
I think this is what I'm saying. There should be like a it should be more specific, like once you reach the age of 12 or whatever, peeing outside now is an offense. It's now a felony.
Mm-hmm.
But peeing up until then, it's okay.
Felony for that.
Well, something. Well, no, dude. No, okay, here's the deal. This is not a joke now. If you, as a grown man, let's say you go around the back. There's no one back there. It's fucking deserted. You're behind a tree taking a piss. Someone just happens to seize you, reports it. You're on a fucking list forever as a, what do they call it? A sexual offender.
It's not Angie's List. It's like, it's the other one.
Craigslist.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. It's, what's that list called? It's, Megan's Law.
Megan's Law. Yeah. I always get those two confused. For some reason.
Your wife's like,
hey, one of them you have to pay for. The other one, you get a lot of weird colors.
Yeah. Honey, look up the plumber. Where do I find a good plumber? Oh,
I knew this guy was up
babe,
to something.
Babe, go find a plumber on Megan's lot. It's a great place.
Right. Yeah, it's a great place.
Some creep comes over.
Yeah,
yeah, like, no, hey there. You'll be on a sexual offender list forever. And it doesn't say on there you were peeing outside. It literally will say, like, public indecency or exposure or whatever.
Yeah.
And if there was a kid that was around, then it'll say expose himself to a child. Even though you were pissing and not doing it. How fucked up is that?
Yeah, no, that is pretty fucked up.
That's crazy.
Especially since I'm sure, I mean, I don't know about you guys. I do all the time.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
no. What are you doing,
I'll have to wash my back now, I guess.
Never. No, I never pee outside.
Yeah, for sure. I'll
pee in the car.
I'll do it in, like, I'll do like a Sharks game on the way. Like on the way to Sharks game, I'm like, we got to walk all the way over the waiting line.
Pee on the building.
I'm going to pee right now. I don't want to wait until I get in there.
Yeah.
Pee on somebody's tire, then get in.
Mark it, how you mark.
It's like one of the benefits of being a dude. Yeah. Come on, don't take that from us.
But poop. Pooping outside is a big
no-no. That's not okay.
That's a big no-no.
That's a
only you do
that's
that.
A faux pas.
I did that once and I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I did it once as an adult, but we're not going to talk about what happened.
Yeah.
When that happened.
That was great.
There was a lot of money involved. It was weird.
Hmm.
Hey, I think you need to bring up something else that I was reading on our forum, which, by the way, were you guys on late last night, a new guy comes on and he took a picture of himself and where he's starting at, and that he was a hard gainer, and he like
the one in his underwear.
Yes,
he posted that yesterday, but it's been just on fire on the forum because a lot of people offering support. And I don't know about you guys, but man, when I see stuff like that, and then I see the support people are giving him and the advice and whatever, because he's new, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing in this realm. I don't know. I get the chills every time I read stuff like that.
Very encouraging.
I wrote that. I said that to him because I told him, I wrote underneath. I think I was probably, by the time I got to it, there was like 20, 30 people that had already commented before me, you know. And I always, like, anytime I see a new person and they announce and they say it's their first day and stuff, I always say hello and everything like that. Right. So I'm saying hi to him. And then I'm like, dude, just buckle up, get ready, right? Because I had seen all the people that had already commented. And then he sends back to me. By the time he sends back to me, another like 10 people in between had already, you know, wrote more information to him. And he was just like, it's almost overwhelming how crazy the support is. Like, he goes, like, instantly he asks a question and just like people are giving. Yeah. And it's not like cheesy generics of like, oh, you know, work hard.
You can do it.
Yeah. Like, people,
people
are
specific.
Stay the course, brother.
Yeah, very specific, you know.
And so we've got, there was some trainers on there that are telling him, hey, when I train my client, this is what I do.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I think all three of us commented, kind of gave him some advice.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm loving it, man. I'm loving reading all the posts that people are putting up there, the comments. I tell you what, it makes me realize just how much the fitness industry needs something like this. You know, we had somebody enroll in our nutrition survival guide the other day, who then sent us a message. It was a young lady. I don't remember her name. I wouldn't say it anyway, even if I remembered. But she's like, hey, I don't think this is what I was looking for. I wanted like a specific, tell me what to eat every day type of meal plan. And it, you know, and all three of us were reading it. And we were kind of talking about it, discussing, I don't know, how we should help her out. But it just occurred to me that the people, they've been so inundated with this advertising and this, you know, this fitness industry standard of, here's your solution, just do this one exact thing, and this will give you results, with no consideration for long-term results, educating the person, you know, actually giving them something that's going to benefit them in a very real way, that they expect that same shit. You know, expect like, I just wanted a meal plan.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted some magical meal plan. Ladies and gentlemen, meal plans or magical meal plans don't exist.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
They do not exist. What you want is you want guidance to help figure out your body, to figure out what works best for not just your body, but your personality, your preferences, the drawbacks to your personality and your preferences. There's going to be challenges that are going to come up for you that are not going to come up with other people. You may have issues with food, for example, that someone else isn't going to have. You may have real strong connections to certain foods. You may find that you reach for sugar not because you like sugar, but because it's comforting, or that cutting out certain foods you have an emotional connection to. You know, I've had many people tell me, I think I have a food intolerance to dairy, but I can't cut dairy out because I don't know what to eat afterwards. And then they realize it's more of an emotional connection than anything, because there's lots of food out there that doesn't have dairy in it. And so what we aim to do with our programs and our guide is we try to guide them, help them, lead them, But so that at the end of the day, they find the solutions that really work best for them. And then what you end up with is somebody who has been yo-yo dieting their whole life to somebody now who has now finally follows the fitness lifestyle. And it's totally not only doable, but it's better than the way they were living before. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and this is really the idea, I think, why we knew we had to have a forum to go with all of our programs, all of our stuff, is because we knew that it was so challenging, right? I think one of the hardest things that for all of us has been, you know, we're so anti cookie cutter anything. So how do we teach these people what they need to know and help them out and guide them nutritionally, guide them training wise? How do we teach them about their bodies without, you know, but we reach masses? How do we reach millions, but not give those million people, you know, because you can't technically write a million people, you know, design programs. We couldn't do a personal one every, I would love to, you know what I'm saying? But that'd be impossible, right? So how do we make it as custom to them and what they need for them? Is, well, we have to teach them. We have to teach them and show them. That was the whole idea of like how MAPS all comes together is, and it's not finished. You know, we're working on the next one already. And when it's all comes together, you know, it will make complete sense for everybody. We started where we started for a reason, but there are other pieces to really understanding and learning your body that we want to help people with. But the forum had to go in conjunction with it because it was so important that when you came into these challenges, because everybody will, you'll hit a plateau or you'll feel some sort of an ache or a pain that was, you know, nagging out of nowhere, or you'll notice something like your body is retaining and holding water or something weird. And so there's a lot of these questions that get asked all the time. Uh-huh. And that's what's the power of the forum is, as you're going through your journey, you know, you have a place that you can actually talk to and communicate to other people that are either one, already gone through what you're going through right now, mm-hmm. or two, are professionals themselves. We've got doctors, nurses, all these people that are on there, and in addition to all of us on there answering questions, so we can guide them through.
Yeah, so you can substitute, you can implement, you know, specific things that are going to benefit you and your body the most. And so that's why we had to keep it kind of open-ended. So we're talking about our programs have foundational elements to them, and they have a structure behind it, and it's very much what any person can benefit from. You know, obviously there's gonna be limitations, and there's gonna be some people with restrictions or past injuries, or you know, you name it, but as far as what's gonna benefit the body the most, we made sure to put that into the program, leaving, you know, sort of open-ended ways for you to implement other ways to enhance yourself personally. And so this is where our whole mods concept comes from. This is where our forum comes in. This is where all these different extra items are there to really personalize it. And that's why we wanted to do it that way, because everybody has to have something to start with. You know, you need to have something that's like, you know, some sort of a format where I'm like, okay, I'm here. How do I navigate from here? Okay, here's how you navigate. Okay, now where do I go? I'll try that, but I don't think that really works for me. Okay, it doesn't really work for you. Let's figure this out. Okay, and then now this is where the forum, we can kind of chat about it, and we can like refine it and move forward from there. So well, that's why I like...
In the spirit of transparency, in the spirit of Mind Pump, from a business perspective, this is what our forum has done from business, just from a purely business standpoint, because I get lots of personal benefit from the forum, just because people like, there's lots of smart people on there. A lot of the studies that I post on my Instagram, I get from the forum, from other people posting, a lot of them. I've done a couple of them now recently. But from a business, from a purely business standpoint, this is what it's done. Number one, if people enroll in our program and then get in the forum, our return rate's like zero. Because I'll tell you why. When people get on our program, number one, if you're looking at it and you've just been working out for a long time and you look at the program, I think sometimes people look and they're waiting to open up the program and to see like some weird magical, like, oh, this is this, what is this?
Yes, exercises they've never seen before.
No, right, or like, right.
What they're gonna new crazy timing tip,
like hang upside down and spin.
Right. What they're gonna see is a lot of exercises that they've done before, right? Your barbell movements, your dumbbell movements. I'd say the one program where they'll probably see exercises they've never done before is performance. But MAPS aesthetic and MAPS anabolic, they'll see a lot of exercises they've done before. What they don't realize is how programming works. And I don't expect them to. That's something that took me, almost 2 decades to understand how actual programming works. So, but then they get on the forum, and I can't tell you, you guys have seen this, but tons of times, probably a dozen at least in the last few months, where we'll have very experienced people who enroll in the program will get on the forum. And when I mean very experienced, I mean some of them have been personal trainers for a long time. Some of them have been competitors for a long time. And they'll get on there and be like, well, I looked at the program and I don't know, it seems basic and I think I need more. I need this and I've done this before. And of course, sure enough, 15 comments. Yep. Trust it. Try it. Do it. It comes with 30-day, you know, guarantee. Do it for 30 days. Watch what happens. And then, of course, 2 weeks later, oh, shit, I'm hitting PRs. Oh, shit, I'm getting digital. Well, I didn't realize it.
Yeah, there's a challenge right there you just mentioned. Like, stick with it for the 30 days. Like, a lot of people that, you know, any of them that we've had, like, and I don't say a lot because there's been very minimal amounts of people, but it's that trust factor, okay? If you don't trust enough to try it for 30 days, don't buy it.
Right.
You know, don't even do it. Because like you have to go through the process. You can't just look at it from a peripheral and be like, well, you know, I tried for like a week and I was like, nah, you know, like you have to do it.
Well, especially when the industry does the complete opposite. And that's one of the things that we came out and have been explaining on this show for so long is that, you know, it would be easier for us to throw a bunch of crazy exercises together that just blast everybody. And the first time you do a workout, you go like, holy fuck, that was this is what bro, I must have been
dude,
missed.
You murdered me, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
This is awesome.
Bro, that is a brilliant point because I'll tell you right now, if I were going to write up a workout on a piece of paper and to dazzle the average gym goer, it would look very different.
Dude, I'll write a whole workout that you can't even read. You have to look up
everything.
I'll
do laps.
You don't know what it is.
Dude, I'll do laps on CrossFit.
Yeah, if you want to just get crazy like that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I wanted to dazzle the average gym goer, I could put a bunch of shit together. They could take a glance at it and be like, wow.
Dude, you think burpees are hard? Please, I'll shit on burpees.
Right.
All day.
Right. They'll look at it and be like, oh my God, this looks crazy. I've never seen shit thrown together like this. Yeah. This is, I got to try this. But no, that's not how expert programming works. It doesn't work that way. And really, expert programming, when it comes to exercise, is the brilliance is in its simplicity. It's not in its complexity. Mm-hmm. And you can go into any, I'm talking about, you find any advanced coach in any sport and you look at their exercise programming for the workouts, and to the layman, to the average person, to the gym rat, the average gym rat, they'll look at it and be like, well, that looks, I could do that. No, you can't. The simplicity, that's where the brilliance is in it. None of their workouts, none of these coaches, you talk to the best coaches, Mark Ripto or any of these guys, mm-hmm. and you look at the programs they put together, and the average person's going to look at it and be like, oh, that's simple.
Bench. I'm just going to do that.
Yeah. No, follow that shit and then see what fucking happens because you're shitty, super complex.
Refine your technique like every step of the way for every one of those simple lifts.
And that's what.
That's
and it's
how
also,
hard it looks.
It's also the programming, the way you, the types of adaptation you're aiming for, the tempo, the way you use the weight, the repetitions you're working, the way the exercises are ordered. I mean, I could go on and on, but if you follow it and all of a sudden you're getting results, then you'll see what I'm talking about. But compare it to your super complex, you know, body part split routine that on paper you think looks awesome, even though you don't understand how exercise programming works. And by the way, you came to us because your workout wasn't working. Mm-hmm. Well, fucking try something different.
Yeah, right.
And it's, you know, I say that and I sound like I'm angry, but I was that guy, dude.
Yeah.
I was that guy that would keep doing the same shit over and over again, and I kept expecting something different to happen. But it's time.
Like, it's a comfortable place.
It's time.
People like staying in that.
Try something different and then see what happens. What's the worst thing that can happen? You go back a month. Okay, you get back on, you do your old shit, and you'll be back within a week to where you were before. You've lost nothing except you've maybe gained some knowledge. And at the very least, you've learned what doesn't work for
you. Is that you've learned something about your body.
Right. Right. And here's the thing. We have people on the forum that don't buy any of our programs. We got one guy on there that could walk on a stage and compete as a bodybuilder. The dude's a fucking beast. I forgot his name. Was it Timothy?
Timoney?
Yeah. Timoney or Timothy?
No, it's not Timothy.
Timoney. The dude's yacked. I don't think he's bought any of our programs. All he's done is applied some of the principles. The guy, has he bought our programs, Doug? Yes. Okay, so this guy, if you saw me and you saw this guy standing next to each other, I could fit inside his pec. Like, he's just yak, right? Yeah. He looks like he knows what he's talking about, and he's got lots of experience. He took some of our advice, and the guys, I think he's in his 30s or 40s, he's hitting PRs on his lifts, and a lot of what he said was, you know, he followed some of our advice by lowering his protein intake. Yes, believe it or not, he lowered his protein intake. It feels better.
His fats.
And another one that he said was a big one was he stopped going to failure.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped lifting to failure. And I wanted to touch on this because that one Instagram page, what is it? The Muscle Professor? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, one of the better Instagram pages I've seen. A lot of science-based information. He tests a lot of the theories that, you know, people come out with. Uh-huh. And they recently, you know, showed a study that was done comparing people who trained and lifted every set to failure versus people who didn't lift to failure. And what did they find? This was a 12 or 16 week period. So it was a short week. It was like 3 or 4 months. No benefit whatsoever to lifting to failure. His recommendation is right along the lines of what we have always recommended, which is don't lift to failure. Number one, it doesn't give you any better benefit. All it's going to do is cause more damage to probably your central nervous system. And after, you know, long term, 16 weeks or whatever, not only are you going to get no benefit from it, but you'll get worse benefits from it. So this is a big one. This going to failure one is a big one. I kind of want to cover this.
Well, I think it was one of, I mean, we talk about this all the time, right? We always talk about our paradigms being shattered and, you know, having moments in our whether nutrition life or our fitness life, whatever we're trying to, whatever our goals are, right? And this is one of those things that I remember when I shifted from that, you know.
How long ago?
It was not even... 2 years ago.
Wow.
Two years ago when I completely shifted from it. I mean, I had experimented with it before and I saw gains from it. And so it wasn't until I like completely stopped doing that though.
Isn't that crazy how imprinted on your brain it was that you saw gains and yet you still went back to going to failure? Happened to me like 4 times before I finally decided.
And that's just it. It's like, it's not like it was completely foreign to me. It was just that I didn't really realize how much more beneficial it was in comparison to what I was doing. I had to revisit it again. And once I revisited it and I saw the change again from it, I thought, wow, this is crazy to me. You would think that, you know, because everything I've ever read before, and because you see all kinds of studies about going to failure and how it causes your body to recruit more muscle fibers, and more muscle fibers means more muscle growth. And, you know, this is like, you know, it's so funny, but you got to take that study out. You got to peel that apart more than that, because there's so many more factors that come into play than just breaking down more muscle fiber or recruiting more muscle fibers. And, you know, there's something to be said that if you continue that mentality, the body gets adapted to that kind of stress. It'll get used to you always hammering the body to failure and frying your central nervous system.
Well, for me, it was more like it was ingrained in me. It was the mental discipline. Like, so going through sports and everything, like the coaches, you know, they do their best as far as like trying to create a program for the team to follow. And for the most part, it was all intensity based. And it's like, just like the whole mentality of like this old school, like, no, we're not taking water breaks, you know, and like everybody, like it was all about this mental discipline. And so they that just carried over into the lifts. And so like,
so did you feel like, oh, I'm being a pussy if I
exactly,
don't go to
exactly 100% always in the back of my mind. And this is something that has taken years and years for me to you know, get out of my mind. It's been there for so long because like, you know, the last part of practice, we would always sprint. And so we'd have like these 100-yard sprints or whatever it was. And you would pride yourself in being able to go like 100% each one of those. And so we would do the same thing with the workouts, where I was going 100% on squats, 100% on bench. And so it wasn't until I think it was when I was like going through like Muay Thai and some martial arts, where they're like, dude, you're going too hard. You know, and like they kept telling me, like,
a little carryover.
Yeah, you're too tight. You know, you're too tight in your punches, you're too tight in your kicks, you know, everything. Cause I was just like, I have to go 100%, you know, and like I felt like I, you know, being loose and, you know, swinging my leg like the way that they wanted me to, I felt like I was being a pussy. You know, I'm like, I'm not doing this at a full max capacity, you know, and it just like, just that one thing for me, I realized once I started working on that and working on my flexibility, how much more force I was producing. And what was happening, like, it was just like a light bulb went off and I'm like, oh my God, what about working out? And then I started to kind of take that into the workouts. And then, you know, we got introduced, you know, MAPS and all these kinds of, like, it reaffirmed that, You know, this is the way to do it. And so that's why I've been so vocal, especially like, I'm not a mobility guy. I'm not like Mr. Like, this is just recent. Like, I've just decided that like, this is better for my body. And so that's why it became like this big focus for me. Cause I had like pushed it away forever.
Well, check this out. When was the, okay, we all know, I know we all pretty much work out alone now, you know, like, and I don't know how long that's been for us, but I bet you at ages between 20 and 25, you were always looking for a workout partner or working with someone because of that, because that mentality of having someone push you and push those limits, and you needed a spotter. Like, people would always ask, like, who's your workout partner?
Who going to failure on a lot of exercises requires a partner. Because if you go to failure on a fucking
bench press, you can't go to failure, right? No. Unless you have a partner.
No, how many times I fucking had the bar land on my chest and I've had to roll it down to my fucking kidneys.
Yeah.
I even remember being a trainer, and you know, I always had a workout partner, and I was very particular about who worked out with me, because I had a certain way I wanted you to spot me. Because I wanted to be spotted on every exercise. Mm-hmm. Like, when you think about it, isn't that crazy? Like, I mean, I remember always having a guy there to spot me and everything. It's just like, why am I training to failure all the time like this?
Well, so for me, the big light bulb came off when I realized, this was a huge fucking moment for me, when I realized that I am not that different from my clients. Mm-hmm. Let me explain. So for the longest time, when I would train my clients, and I am far more objective of a trainer of my clients than I am for myself. I've always been a better trainer for my clients than myself. Still to this day, is awesome as I work out now on my own, I'm still better with my clients because I don't have ego when I train my clients. When I'm training my clients, I'm just trying to get them to improve and feel better. I'm trying to get them to move better. I'm trying to get them to, you know, lose body fat, build muscle, and just improve on a regular basis. And a lot of these people I've trained for over 10 years. So when I'm training them, I'm watching those things. I can see what's going on. I can see what's working. I can scale the workout back. I can change the routine. Whereas when I go work out, my ego kicks in and I'm like, no, fuck it. I'm squatting heavy. No, fuck it. I'm going to failure.
Yeah.
So there was a moment, and it was not that long ago. And this is what's crazy to me, is that you've got three guys on this podcast who pride ourselves in being open-minded and advancing our knowledge in exercise, science, and how, you know, works on the body. And yet we all fell for the same traps. We all fell for that shit. That's how I want you guys to understand, the people that are listening right now, I want you to understand something right now. A lot of you are unconsciously incompetent. A lot of you don't know that you don't know. You think you know, but you literally have no idea. And so you have to open your mind first. And this is what happened. I would train my clients, and then every once in a while I'd get like a real serious client, and they'd be like, cool, I'm going to train this guy like I trained myself. And I would have them lift to failure. And every fucking time, they would stop progressing or they would start regressing. Mm-hmm. And I would always chalk it up to, well, I'm special. I'm a trainer. I take supplements. Yeah. I work out differently. I whatever. And then I would stop training them to failure. And I'd have clients that would progress and do phenomenal. And I'd look at them and be like, you know, they're doing really well. Like, this is no longer, we're not that different. Like, I've got a client now that can deadlift 400 pounds. Or I've got a client now that can bench press a decent amount of weight, and that's pretty fucking good. Like, and then I started realizing, like, I'm not super special. I'm pretty average. Maybe I should try some of the stuff that I apply on my clients. And so that's what I started doing. This is also why I moved away from body part splits, because I never trained the clients body part splits. I've had clients hire me for 5 days a week. I put them on body part splits, and they wouldn't get good results. And I would always be like, their genetics aren't as good as mine. Once I started, you know, being more objective and training myself like I train my clients, it was mind blowing. Not going to failure was massive. It was huge. The second I stopped all my sets about two reps short of failure. So don't get me wrong, it's still intense. You're still working out hard. I'm just not doing those two extra reps that make me where I can't move the weight anymore. The second I stopped doing that, literally the following week I got stronger. It was that fast. I was like, I stopped going to failure. Holy shit, I'm getting stronger.
Well, that's a good point to make too, because the workouts aren't just weenie workouts. You know, I think people would think that a lot of times, like that we're in my mentality later on, that are just like, you know, like, oh, well, that means I'm not working hard enough. Or no, you're working hard. It's just that you're applying discipline that will benefit you down the road, and you're going to adapt versus like just pummel yourself.
Well, here's what happens. When you go to failure, you fatigue the muscle, obviously, but you also fatigue the central nervous system to a very large extent. And what that does, and what the studies show, we're going to talk about science now here for a second. What the studies show is that it
I'll prepare my brain.
Thank you for the fucking heads up.
Sometimes I sound like a pump.
I'll put my white coat on.
Sometimes I sound like a pompous asshole.
There we go. We're going to talk about science.
Each subsequent sets are negatively affected dramatically. So if I go to failure on squats, it's going to dramatically reduce my performance for each set. So although I may have stressed my muscle fibers more in that one set than I would in one set where I stopped 2 reps short of failure, it's now fucked up the rest of my workout. And so overall, I'm getting less...
You don't mean literally. You just mean that you're getting less
results. And on top of that, I'm hammering my central nervous system, which many times requires longer to recover than your muscles. Mm-hmm. And they both, you know, your muscles can recover great, and you can have a fried central nervous system, and that's going to affect your performance and your gains. And if you don't believe me, take a week off of exercise. Make sure your muscles are nice and fresh. Mm-hmm. And then stay up for 48 hours in a row. Don't go to sleep at all. Go to the gym and see how you perform. Muscles are fully recovered. Central nervous system is fucked. And your workout's going to suck as a result.
Oh, yeah.
So your best bet, literally, whether you change your workout or not, whether you enroll in MAPS or not, whether you stay in your bro split or whatever, stop going to failure.
One of the things, when we started following MAPS, right, when we first started, and the biggest game changer for me, I've had the most growth in my legs over the last 2.5 years than I have in anything else. And the number one factor that is of what, I mean, following MAPS, but what it's applying is it forced me to go from being that guy who used to do 20 to 25 sets on legs, and I would be so fucking sore for 7 days that I'd be literally sore for 3 to 4 days. 5th day, still feeling it. Day 6, still kind of feeling it. 7th day, finally, like, feel like I'm fully recovered. So I'm hitting it once a week and I'm just pounding the shit out. When I started to pull back from that and then we spread it out over 3 days in MAPS, oh my God. Like my gains, it was every week it felt like I was gaining size, gaining strength, gaining size. And over the last 2.5 years, I've made way more progress on my squats and in my legs than anything else by applying that science, by finally biting. And like I said, I've done it before and other things, but to actually stick to it and run through the whole routine, that was a game changer for me. I was no longer crippling my legs to where I could, you know, and I see guys do that all the time. It's still like a bragging right now. You see people post about, post leg day. Like, cool. Post leg day for me, I walk out, I feel fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Bro, I get a nice little pump on and I'm walking around and I feel great. I don't fucking waddle out of the fucking gym anymore.
I don't need a meme where
I did though, so I understand. You know what I'm saying? I'm not punking anybody who does that because I get it. I did the same thing too. I mean, that was how all of us got trainer buddies would talk to each other like, oh, you pussy, you could still walk.
We all did, dude. Come on.
Yeah. It's such a... So this is probably why, women tend to love the program. I'll tell you why. Because men have this ego where if I tell a guy, don't go to failure, it's better for you, his response is like, well, I'm not a pussy. Well, that's not the fucking point.
That's exactly.
That's not the point.
The response.
It was like, okay, do you take a sledgehammer and smash yourself in the face with it every day? No. Oh, you must be a pussy because you don't smash your... Like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? It makes no goddamn sense at all. Now, women are guilty of it in other areas, like childbirth, when they're like, I went natural. It's like, oh, I took epidural. You must be a pussy. No. It's the same thing with exercise with guys.
Yeah.
They think, because I tell them...
Do they really talk shit like that?
Dude, women are funny about that. I've heard women talking like, I'm going natural. Like, it's this big, like... Let me tell you.
I always just think that's pubes.
That's where guys don't have an ego.
Yeah.
If men had babies... Epidural, there would be no question. No, a doctor wouldn't ask you.
I got mine out in 2 minutes. Yeah, how much? How many milligrams do you want?
Yeah, a doctor wouldn't.
You think you could handle 14,000?
Yeah. A doctor would not ask you, would you like to go natural or would you like to use drugs? That wouldn't even be an option on the paper. Everybody would get fucking drugs, you know what I'm saying? But when it comes to working out, guys have this mentality where if I tell you how to do it a better way and it just so happens to be more efficient in the sense that it's a little easier on you, all of a sudden you're like, well, I like to do things the hard way because I'm a guy. And I'm a manly dude, and you're a pussy. No, motherfucker, you're gonna get better results. Forget your stupid ego for a second. Would you like to build more muscle, get stronger, and get leaner? Yes. Good. then do it this way.
You know,
you're not being a pussy.
Just listening to you say that, I feel like you're attacking my little guy that's still there.
He's like, shut up, man. Shut the fuck up.
Shut up. I'm not a pussy. Yeah,
I'm not.
Well, I think the reason why we're so passionate about it is because we all did too.
Yeah, we were there.
You know?
We were there.
And I think that's it's always important that we tell people that, because I know there's now that we've had all these episodes, there's lots of people that have never heard all of them that tune in, just maybe this is the first time you're listening to us. And, you know, one of the things that we are first ones to tell you, like, man, I remember going through that. It's normal to think that way, to feel that way. The thing is that you have to learn to challenge that, though. Challenge yourself and be open-minded. Be open-minded, and you'll see when you start really applying real science, not the shit that you're reading in magazines or that your buddy told you or that you swore that somebody, you know, you saw some study that said this. Like, you got to be careful of all the propaganda that's out there in the industry. I mean, like I said, I could take a spin, put a spin on anything, you know, and twist any way of training, any modality, and make it sound like it's the best way. But in reality, that's not what it's really.
No, it's here's the thing. The people that have made gains working out and going to failure have made gains not because they've gone to failure. They've made gains in spite of going to failure. That was likely working against them, and they still made some gains anyway. You take that going to failure and you apply it properly. And by the way, I'm not saying stay away from failure like it's cancer. you know, every once in a while you want to lift to your max, that's fine. All I'm saying is if you go into the gym and you're always going to failure, you're probably overdoing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably overdoing it. For most of you, you're overdoing it.
And yeah, if you use it as a test.
Yeah, and if you stop going to failure, your results will be better. And that's just kind of where I would like to end it. So
yeah.
If you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating review.
I like Mind Pump.
On iTunes. 5-star rating review on iTunes. And if we like it, you'll get a free t-shirt. You can check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, and Justin at Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.